HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths. This episode is brought to you by Oracle. So if you followed our podcast over the last 2 years, we have talked a lot about customer experience and how customer experience has evolved over the sort of originally the online scenario and then the hybrid scenario. Specifically, when we talk about e-commerce, this has been a business that has always been sort of a faceless transaction between customers and companies. But that means that the need for good customer experience gets magnified just by that much. And as a result, it is very important to have good CX strategies directed from the boardroom itself. And today I have with me Nitin Bhatia, who's the country manager, Commerce Cloud at Oracle, to talk about exactly this and how companies can improve this. But before I get to anything, Nitin, I've been told that you're called the Mr. Bean of digital marketing. And I really want to know what that means and how this name came along.
Thanks, Prasad. First of all, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show. And I hope that I will be able to do some justice to the topic. It's a very vast and wide topic. Very interesting question to start the podcast with. Yes, I'm fondly known as Mr. Bean of digital marketing in India. The story comes across from a perspective that I was speaking at Click Asia Summit in Taj Lands End in 2016. And because this is a podcast, so people can't see me, but if you go to my LinkedIn post or if I go to my Instagram, you see that I have some resemblance when it comes to Rowan Atkinson. And my face looks a little bit, my expressions come across that way. So somebody tweeted that Mr. Bean is speaking at the Click Asia Summit. And I felt that it has a nice nick to it. Instead of feeling bad about it, I kind of felt that this is going in the right direction. People are tweeting, retweeting, and a lot of engagement is happening. So I said, why not just stick with it and keep it with myself? So since that day, I've been a self-proclaimed Mr. Bean of digital marketing in India.
That's actually excellent. I would love to be compared to Mr. Bean any day. Rowan Atkinson has always been one of my favorites.
Indeed. I personally feel that it is it's good to have a little bit of fun around doing these kind of stuff, because this is quite young and a very interesting industry which is growing right now. So, you know, associating something which is more fun and more funny in that way will have, always have some kind of a recall. So that was the reason.
I agree. Industry is often too serious. But having said that, we also have to get to a little more serious this thing as well, right? So what I wanted to, you know, ask you is that customers today really demand a sort of a unique experience, right? Given that this demand is there, what is the role you think hyper-personalization has to play in e-commerce today?
Yeah, good question. See, hyper-personalization, I would say that, you know, if you roll back 5 years or 6 years back and ask any marketing head, or maybe even a little earlier, maybe 10 years down the line when we didn't really have a lot of digital media running in the in this industry, every marketer will say that I would like to know as much as possible about my customers. And the reason why they wanted to do is that because they were taking an educated guess that if I know more about the customers, the better I can give them messaging, the more targeted it can be, and more reaction and more results can come across, which are linked with the KPI of the organization. So hyper-personalization is actually in the era of digital marketing, in the era of marketing technology and automation, plays a very vital role, is because every marketer or every business wants to give the right message to the right consumer at the right time. And it is possible today only if there is some kind of method in place. So one of the methods which basically works very well in this area is, for example, we call it in this four steps which you can put across. One is info. Info is your data. So with the revolution, data has hit hard and fast. There is a marketing guy will have separate data, a sales guy will have a separate data, a sales head will have a separate data. It is important that all the data talk to each other. There are less duplications so that we can get more information or we know more about your customers. So that comes under the info. The second one is know. So know your segmentation. That means you can divide your customers into multiple segments so that the more segmentations you do, the more categorization you can bring to give messages. For example, if you know about your customers, that a particular customer, let's say Nitin Bhatia is one of the customers who goes to Myntra, and Myntra already knows that Nitin likes pink color, and by default, the moment I log in, I see products which are in pink, I see the dashboard in pink color, or maybe I see, so my engagement by default will increase with that particular product or that particular set of message which is given to me in that color. So in this way, knowing more about the customers is also important. And then all this is linked with show. Show is your analytics. So the idea is that what is the analytics showing? How many customers are clicking on button X and how many customers are clicking on button Y, and take an informed decision that button X will increase my sales by 10 or 15% if I just place it on the left or the right of the screen. And then in the end is growth. So self-explanatory, right? So the info, the know, the show is aligned, and now you can take smarter decisions on what will lead to grow your business further. So in this entire piece of hyper-personalization, it is important to follow the customer at the right place at the right time and then give the messages accordingly. So if it is pre-purchase, then what message should go? If it is during the purchase, what kind of notification should go? And if it is after the purchase, how can you send more service-oriented messages to him? So all this links with hyper-personalization.
Got it. But it's also interesting that you mentioned Myntra, right? Today, businesses have to sort of engage with customers on many different platforms. That's just how the internet is, right? So how do brands sort of deliver a, you know, frictionless experience when it's like this cross-channel experience that they're catering to today?
The omnichannel experience has been around for a while, and it is linked with finding as many touch points as possible so that the customers are always engaged and informed. In fact, I was just reading this morning that 90% is the opening rate of WhatsApp messages. So if a business is not adopting WhatsApp as a piece of technology which they can use to interact with their customers, they are kind of way behind. So similarly, in an omnichannel experience, you know, you need to ensure that, for instance, you have gone to, as you mentioned rightly, that let's say that right now, your first step for anybody is to bring the customer to a purchase cycle. So first step is pre-purchase, which is marketing. So ensuring that you're finding the customers who will buy your products, and for that, you need to actually go and hunt them. The second step is linked with, how would you do that? So first of all, you would go with some kind of Google ads. You will basically have display ads and then hope that these people will interact with those ads. Otherwise, social media ads, you basically target them on Facebook, on Instagram. These are other platforms, new platforms like Snapchat, wherever your customers are. LinkedIn is also a great platform for B2B. And you basically find those over there. Then you bring them to the website. Now, when they're interacting with the website, we basically call hyper-personalization and hyper-retargeting. So hyper-retargeting basically means that, let's say you are spending a time on iPhone. Now the technologies are there where I can figure out that, okay, Prasidh has come to the website and has clicked on the iPhone, and he's right now for the last 30 seconds, he has been on the iPhone. Let's throw him an interesting pop-up that, if you purchase today, you get additional 5% discount. It is conditional that you have spent 1 minute on that tab. That is the reason we have given you this particular option, so that we can trigger a little bit of interest that you can buy this now instead of going out or abandoning the cart. So that is something which is there. So, you know, when you talk about Myntra, all this marketing automation, sales automation is happening. It's so seamless that you feel it like an experience rather than feeling that, okay, it is too annoying.
But, you know, I mean, for example, you took WhatsApp as an example, right? It has a very high open rate. But for me, for example, if I look at myself as a customer, right, I open WhatsApp messages from brands often, but most of the time I open them and, I mean, that's, I sort of close them just as fast. And customers like me, and for that matter, most of the customers today online are sort of known to be not very dependable, not, you know, as trustworthy as, say, offline customers used to be. Then how do brands build that trust with the customers?
I would actually put it across in a very different way to you, Prasad. If today you yourself said that, you know, you open the WhatsApp, but you possibly do not interact too much, it could also be that the brands which basically are trying to interact with you do not know you as much. I'll give you an example that, let's say that, do you play cricket? Like, do you like cricket by any chance?
I like it enough, as much as, you know, anybody in this country does.
So, perfect. So, for example, I know of a platform which basically is into collecting cricket memorabilia. Now, I right now still do not know whether you are interested in collecting cricket memorabilia. But if you are, then you are the right customer for that customer. If I am able to send you a message which is around that, because I know that you like cricket, I would like to take a chance of sending you something around that. But let's say if it's pretty much like if looking London, going Tokyo is the situation that you have no interest in cricket, you have no interest in sports, for example, and I am trying to sell you something around that, of course the engagement will be low. So that's the reason the brands need to know the customer better so that they can target and give the right kind of messages. So I think, you know, to be honest with you, marketing automation, that's the reason is growing. You know, 75% of marketing professionals are already using at least one type of marketing automation today. And the reason for that is because there it works, and it works in the right way. And automation is all about finding the right customer, sending the right kind of messages, and all has to be done through a scientific artificial intelligence process added to that.
True, true. But then AI, you know, I mean, whenever we implement AI, automation, things like that, there's a lot of data that goes into this. And a lot of this data is sort of first party data that the company itself will have. Having said that, we are working on regulations around privacy. Customers themselves are probably much more sensitized to the, you know, whole privacy concept today and what goes into it, right? So what is the role that first party data will play in providing personalized experiences today?
See, there are two or three kinds of data which basically any customer or any particular business would be interested in. The first party data is owned by themselves. So that means what you did was you went to a website, you put in your name, you put in your email ID, you put in your phone number, you put in your, you know, maybe a little more gender, some other details also, whatever the website asked, you opted in to get that in, you actually put that information, and that information now holds or is with the website or with the bank, for example. Okay. Now, while you're doing this, today there are lots of other ways, opt-out messages which also come in. Now you have seen that cookie data which was shared earlier without letting you know, you have an option to opt out, right? So these kind of measures have taken place. But once the data is with the company, it is also important to see what are they going to do with that information. If it should be there in some kind of bylanes or bylaws that once we select this data, we might give it out to marketing agencies or something. So this kind of and that can only be safeguarded with right kind of regulations in place. Now that regulations can be from the government, that can be regulations from the internet authorities. So this is something which has to be taken care of from that perspective. So the idea is that when you buy something from a website, you choose to put that data inside. But that is not a problem. I think customers are not having issues with that as of now. The issues is with the third party. Third party basically means that, let's say I have trusted or maybe a credit card provider, and I have a credit card of that company, and then that company is now selling my data to anybody else in exchange of some kind of remuneration or in exchange of some kind of deal which they had in between. That is where the problem is. So that is what basically requires more regulations. Now, third-party data has more GDPR compliances have also come into place. So all these things have been there. So I think that is where the challenge is. And then there is second party data. So second party data is like owned by someone else and you are using it for marketing and all these kind of activities. So that is, so this is there. But when it comes to the first party data, I think it's also linked with a little bit of trust. For example, Facebook has not asked you to actually go into Facebook and share all that information. Now Facebook has also come up with saying that whatever information you want to delete, whatever information you don't want to share, you can simply click on that and we will not share that information. However, the practice of sharing information will continue.
Got it. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the customer's journey, you know, across the sort of e-commerce channel. There's the sort of pre-purchase where I'm yet to make a purchase. There's the purchase and there's sort of the post-purchase, right? And CX is a part of all of these three steps. How does the CX strategy of a brand change, you know, across these three steps?
I think that's, it is, first of all, the idea that everything should talk to each other, right? So that's the first thing. As I said in the beginning of this podcast itself, I said that if there is an organization where marketing division has a separate data, separate approach towards reaching out to customers and talking to customers, and then when you are on the website, you know, while you have logged in once, you possibly have still been asked to log in, or you've still been not giving the same experience which you had done previously, that is also not a good experience. And then when you have purchased something and when you are going, you know, the best example I always take is that how many times have you called up a customer care service and they have asked you for your name and your number or your email or your phone number? That is very annoying. You know, to reduce that, it is important that the data should talk to each other. So the approach which has to be taken place has to be taken at the organizational level. So I think the most important way I would put across into four different layers, take an ecosystem-centric approach. So that means CX should be a part of every organization. That data, you know, when it considering to how to drive results, elevating the customer experience, think broader. Assess the full ecosystem from customers and employees to franchisees to channel partners and beyond. Success with this strategy hinges on navigating and complexities of an enterprise-wide approach. So the idea is that each and every person should have a customer-first approach or enhanced customer experience approach. Then only you can have a more holistic CX experience altogether. So that means just imagine from a perspective that you're going to an airport, and the moment you have scanned your pass, you know, your ticket or your boarding pass, or you've got the boarding pass, from that point of view till the time you board the plane, every touch point which you have to go through should already have all the information fed in. And that information fed in from the time you entered or when you got your boarding pass. So that means all the data points are talking to each other. Even the immigration team also has the same information. Then the data is talking to each other. The same logic goes across when it comes to your overall CX experience. So that means, let's start with a very simple one. Right now, Prasidh has one. I want to actually target all the people, those who are HNIs. How will I go about it? I would try to find all the people, those who are interested in purchasing a Land Rover. And then once I know that these are the kind of people who would be interested in buying, let's say, a house, I would start targeting them. And that is my first filtration which starts. Once we have targeted them, got a message, it could be through SMS, it could be through email, it could be through WhatsApp, it could be through Facebook ads, I have then tried to bring them to the website. Once they have clicked on a particular, let's say they interacted with an ad where you had shown a beautiful sunset, and the person was standing in a balcony. Once they log in or once they go into the website, how interesting would it be if they see the same sunset and the same balcony once they logged in into the website? That's something which is called personalization. You personalize based on the content which they interacted with. That will enhance engagement on the website. Now, when they are in the website, a lot of things is dependent on the UX, you know, how easy or simple it is for people to actually take a buying decision. How can you reduce the number of steps for them to buy something? That is also linked with customer experience. What is the experience you're giving them while they're on your website? And if you have been able to achieve that, of course, it's with trial and error through A-B testing, then you are able to bring them to a position of buying. And then, of course, so that's your purchase funnel, which we talked about. And of course, a lot of things are there. For example, one of the experiences, like today, we can have voice search. So instead of typing something, you can simply say, I'm looking for, let's say, a yellow t-shirt. And by default, yellow t-shirt options will come on the website. How cool is that? You know, that is something which is there. You can enhance that experience further with Alexa. So you're at home and you can say, Alexa, can you find me yellow t-shirts available on, let's say, Fab India? And Alexa does that work for you. So all that is the part of the purchase cycle. And once the purchase has happened, how good is your customer experience after you have finished? So is your customer call center aware of who the buyer was? What did he buy on the moment he actually called up or the moment he tried to connect with you? So all these things are important when it comes to a better CX experience.
And how do you think companies would sort of prioritize CX, right? CX is sort of a intangible concept. It's probably a little more difficult to figure out the ROI of spending on CX, right? So how does one develop that strategy with which they can prioritize CX within their company?
Well, it's a very hypothetical question, but I think now with the pandemic, hitting hard to people, a lot of people have learned the hard way that, customer experience will actually help them to actually be with them or be loyal overall. What is customer experience? It is a very simple way of how people find, engage with, and advocate for the brands they love. That's what customer experience is. So if you are saying that if customer experience has to be a part of the budget overall, it has to come from the top. So there has to be a behavioral change in how the management is looking at giving an experience to the customers. And, does the current CX enable self-discovery to help customers meet their needs? Does the company provide accessible opportunities for customers to inquire and receive assistance? Are your customers, customer experiences engaging, unique, and proactive based on identified customer needs? Like, these are the questions which you need to think while you are deciding how your future is going to be when it comes to how you're going to lead the firm going forward. So it is important that it has to come from, as I said, it has to be an ecosystem answer. So that means your partners, your vendors, everybody should think that, okay, if I have to work for this organization, I have to think customer first. So that approach has to be taken at that level. And it can be seen by multiple examples today. You look at Amazon, they are so customer centric. You look at Myntra, Flipkart, all these are very, very customer centric. They take hits so many times to ensure that the customers are pleasing and they're happy with the experience they're having on the website, or they're having the overall experience from Flipkart or from Amazon. So I think it has to come from that perspective, that the mindset has to change at that level, at the leadership level.
And how does one run this on sort of a organization-wide level, right? There, where the ROI will really, really increase. I'm sure you see many of these challenges. So I would also, want you to sort of leave our, listeners with some kind of advice on how they run it on an organization-wide basis.
Yeah, As I said, I think the questions have come in a fragmented way, but ultimately it is on the right way, right? So for example, I will say four things. First of all, you have to take an ecosystem-centric approach. Then you have to figure out that how can you basically create a people-focused data foundation. And then leverage design thinking methods. So I have not elaborated on that, but basically, whatever you are doing, is it useful for your customers? Is it accessible to your customers? Is it engaging enough for your customers? A methodology, provides, what is design thinking? A methodology that provides 5-stage solutions, emphasize, define, ideate, create a prototype, test it, and if it works, then go ahead. And to be honest, with the proper approach towards all this, we have seen that, there has been an increase in the outputs from 71% to 107% with consistent series of investments on design thinking. So I'm not just saying things for the sake of saying, but these are things which basically have helped. Even with a holistic CX experience, which we are seeing with our customers, we have seen an immediate uplift of 40% in sales. We have seen immediate uplift of 120-130% of sales as well. So there is a lot of meat behind the logic of customer experience overall. And then the fourth thing is to implement measurement-focused testing and constant iterations. For example, if you have created something, let's say you have used a CX approach for a website, you have made it very simple, you constantly keep testing it and ideating it, and then the results come in, which can be in your favor. So you have to constantly see that how, and you have to look at other measurement matrix like customer satisfaction, what's your net promoter score, what is your brand advocacy, do you currently monitor customer loyalty, retention, and churn. And these are the matrices which are very, very critical for you to ensure that customer experience is always at the top.
So yeah, obviously, customer experience is a very important thing going forward, and especially given that more and more it's getting clearer that we are going to have this hybrid sort of world, and there is a lot of more data that is going to be available for use. Thanks a lot, Nitin, for joining us. Thanks a lot for sharing your insights with the listeners as well.
Thank you very much, Prasid. It was an honor, as I said earlier, and I would look forward to actually hear this as soon as it's out.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode. Please do let me know what you thought of it and what else you would want me to cover. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Undertecker. Yes, you heard that right. That's UNDERTECHER. You can also give us feedback at HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please do log on to htsmartcast.com and listen to all of our productions.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.